book that you're using in your life groups, Living Life on Purpose. We'll, the ushers will be out there at the end to take the offering up. You're not usually in here, are you? Okay. But tonight we're going to talk about evaluate and eliminate what must not dominate. You know, as you begin to discover what your purpose is, you have to start setting priorities. You have to start focusing. And as we see our lives begin to form around our purpose, you know, there's so many things that the enemy throws out there to get us off of our purpose. Distractions, circumstances, situations of life. So this chapter, I think, is a real good one. Evaluate and eliminate what must not dominate. This says, lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. Lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours in a day. And, you know, it's amazing what some people can accomplish in 24 hours. And it's amazing what some people can waste in 24 hours. You know, we don't believe that we should waste money, do we? Should we waste time? No, thank you. We shouldn't waste time, should we? We should, in fact, the Bible tells us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. So one of the things that we have to do as believers, as people who live life on purpose, is to determine your values. The things that you value, the things that you're going to allow to drive your life, are your values. If you got your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Were the things I did today help? That's the verse. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. There's a lot of things that we can do. I mean, that are legitimate things to do. But it says two things. Not everything that we can do. It may be lawful. It may be legal. It may not be a sin to do those things. But is it something that is helpful to me? And number two, is it something that edifies me? Now, edify means to what? To build up, to lift up, you know. So not everything that you do that could be a legitimate thing builds you up. So these are the things that as we determine our values and what drives our lives, we need to be thinking about two things. Does it help me and does it build me up? So if it doesn't help me and it doesn't build me up, then maybe this is something that I need to evaluate and eliminate because it could dominate my life. We want to be dominated by the Word of God. We want to be dominated by the Spirit of God. We want to be dominated by the vision that God has for us and the purpose that God has for us. So here again, we have to evaluate our day, what we do, and we have to, if we're going to stay focused and we're going to stay on course, then there's some things that we have to eliminate or otherwise they're going to dominate. Question. Ask yourself this question. Were the things that I did today helpful in reaching my goals and did they build me up? What would you say? You know what your purpose is? You know what you're supposed to be doing? Did the things that you did today, did they get you closer to your goals, to your purposes? Did they build you up or did they tear you down? Okay, now there's a difference in a good thing and a God thing. I'm just saying this different ways, and this is how he said it in the book. There's difference in a good thing and a God thing. There's a lot of good things that you can do. I was at a meeting today. I have to be careful. I get asked to serve on boards, to do certain things. I have people say, would you come and pray over this? Would you come and do the invocation here? Would you come and serve on this board? Would you do? And they're all good things. But if it doesn't fit within the scope of what I'm doing or what I'm supposed to be doing, all it becomes is a distraction. It is not something that helps me to evaluate or helps me reach my goals, and it doesn't edify me. So therefore, I should not be ashamed or afraid to say, no, I can't do that. Sometimes no is the right answer. Even though it's a good thing, it's not a God thing. I know what my God things are. I was in a meeting today, and this fits right in with the purpose. They are trying to establish a Christian clinic, health clinic in the town. You know, like the one that we support in Heber Springs, that one that doctors that see patients and prescribes medication and does certain things. They're trying to establish one of those here. I think that's a wonderful thing. I can see us fitting in with that. I could see our life groups helping with those kind of things. They're going to need doctors. They're going to need nurses. They're going to need volunteers. They're going to need people who can do computer work. All of those kind of things. And that fits two criteria. It's a good thing, and I believe it's a God thing. And that's something that will be helpful to me and the goals and the purposes that I have as a leader in this town, as a leader to this church. And I think it'd be something very profitable and very edifying for our church. So sometimes we have to do those things. I get asked to do things sometimes that do not fit within the scope of the vision of what we're doing. And I have to say thank you, but I can't do that. I can't do that because I can't afford to get distracted. Neither can you. If your purpose is to teach children, you don't need to be a greeter. If your purpose is to be a greeter, you don't need to try to teach children. If you're not doing the right thing, if you're not doing the God thing, sometimes the good thing will actually drain you. Does that make sense? Y'all quiet tonight. Y'all not talking? Have y'all been Baptist so long you don't talk in church? Okay. All right. Let me ask you a question. Are you in slavery? Read a verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:12. This is from the Message Bible. Your Bible won't read like this. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. Are you a slave to your whims? Okay? Let's think about that a minute. Are you a slave to everything that comes along because you can't say no? Do you get caught from little thing to little thing to little thing that distracts your times, and the first thing you know that your whole day has been wasted by the little things, the little whims that come along? So one of the things that we need to do as people of purpose is we need to discipline our daily habits. Now I know this is not shouting stuff. We need to discipline our daily habits. Let me ask you a question. Let's all be honest tonight. How many of you are aware that you waste time? Have you ever looked at the end of your day and thought, what have I done with this day? You know, I believe in resting. I believe in taking naps. I believe in recreation. I believe in doing good deeds. But have you ever set out to accomplish a certain thing, and at the end of your day has been so wasted by circumstances, by situations, by people that you didn't accomplish anything? I've had this happen. Maybe I would say, okay, today I'm going to study. And I get a phone call. Why don't you, hey, let's go to lunch. And I really wasn't going to lunch. Now I go to lunch a lot, okay? I go to lunch every day. Or somebody says, you know what? Could you run over here and help me do this? Could you? And you know, if you're not careful, you'll let the circumstances dictate your day. Or you get caught up in doing something. You know, you can do too much Facebook. It's easy to get on the internet and stay all day long instead of reading. Have you ever made a resolution that you were going to read more this year? You're going to study your Bible more? You're going to pray more? And I mean, the moment that you make a decision to go and pray, you have an interruption. And rather than say no, you allow something or somebody to cause you to waste. Your day. So we have to discipline our daily habits. You know, in little bad habits can easily turn into bondage if we're not careful. How about television? You can turn the TV on and you think, I'm gonna pray and meditate on the things of God today. And then you remember, oh yeah, something was coming on. There's a movie coming on I wanted to see today. And you turn the television on and it stays on all day long. Am I talking to anybody in here? Just stop it. Could be your morning coffee. It could be, I like coffee. I drink coffee every day. But you can allow little bitty habits that you do every day to cause you to waste so much time. Your habits can waste time. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 in the Amplified Bible. For the time being, no discipline brings joy. Because we got to be disciplined to accomplish our goals. Okay? But it seems grievous and painful. Have you ever determined, I'm going to pray for an hour. And you get down and you start praying. And you pray and 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 pray. And I mean, you agonize in prayer forever. And you look at your watch and it's been 5 minutes. I mean, you say everything that you know how to do in 5 minutes. You're just going to pray an hour. And you think, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Well, it's called discipline. Or I'm going to read so many chapters in the Bible. And you sit down and you start reading and your mind just starts wandering. Like you have no discipline whatsoever. So this says, for the time being, there's no joy in discipline. It seems grievous and painful, but afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, a harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness in conformity to God's will and purpose, thought and action, resulting in right living and right standing with God. One of the things that I've determined to do this month, I have the Bible on CD. I have the New Testament. And anytime I get in the car, instead of listening to the radio, I like to listen to talk radio. Does anybody listen to talk radio? I like Drive Time Sports. I like anything to do with sports. I listen to ESPN radio. There's so many things I like to do. But I've determined every time I get in the car, I'm going to have that Bible on CD in there. And when I drive down the road, I'm going to be listening to it. And I've determined to do that. And then I'll be driving down the road at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I'm thinking, I wonder what Wally's talking about. I wonder what Randy Rainwater's talking about on Drive Time. I bet you they're talking about spring football. I bet you they're talking about recruiting. I wonder what their latest recruiting news is. And I'm thinking, let me just push that button just for a minute and listen to 5 minutes. No, I've determined I'm going to listen to the Word. I'm going to listen to the Word. And you have to be disciplined to do that. Maybe in the morning. Does anybody ever wake up and you lay in the bed and think or pray for a while, or it takes you a few minutes to get going? Maybe you think, I'm going to meditate on the things of God this morning. I'm going to do a little prayer time before I get up. Or you go to bed at night and you think, I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to pray a little while before I go to sleep. And then you remember something on TV, or you remember, you have to be disciplined to do that, to commune with God. How important is it that we commune with God? And I'm not trying to lay guilt trips on you. I'm just talking about sometimes we have to evaluate and eliminate that which must not dominate. Okay. So what do you tolerate in your life? Could we go around and ask this question? What do you tolerate in your life that robs you of your productivity, that keeps you out of your purpose? See, whatever dominates you starts with what you tolerate. Say that again. Whatever dominates you starts with what you tolerate. Okay. Too much TV. You get out of the habit of coming to church. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for bad habits to form, and how hard it is for good habits to form? I'm trying to eat right. Sometimes that brownie just wants to jump off the dessert bar and jump into my mouth. Oh. Well, just one wouldn't hurt. I've had people say, you know what? One wouldn't hurt. Oh, yeah? Whatever you tolerate, whatever dominates is what starts with something that you tolerate. I have gone on diets. I bet I have lost about 3 of me in my lifetime and put it back on. I know about all this kind of stuff. I've lost 30 pounds at a time and then turn around and put 50 back on. And then lose another 30 and turn around and put another 50 back on. And it's all because you tolerate certain things in your life. I need a day off and I need some grease is what I need. I need some French fries. And you begin to tolerate certain... You know what? A little bite of French fry wouldn't. And the first thing you know, you're back to your old eating habits because you tolerate it, and then if you're not careful, it begins to dominate. Are you just lazy one Sunday morning? See, I can't do this because I get paid to be here, okay? I can't do this. But you just feel, I'm just tired today. I don't think I'll go. And it's easier for you to do it the next time. And then first thing you know, you're out of the habit. Poor church attendance. Or maybe not, just not participating when you're here. You put up with it in your life. You know that you ought to be a worshiper of God. You know that you should, you know, lift your hands and praise God. But you think, I don't believe I'll do it today. I don't feel like it. And you begin to tolerate that in your life. Everything that dominates starts with something that you tolerated in your life. Are you ready for me to move on? Okay. So the next thing that we have to do is get rid of unnecessary weights. You know, the Bible talks in Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now this says two things, and we're going to talk about one of them. We know about the sin part, okay? But it also says weights. Weights are some things that are not sinful, but they're hindrance to us. You ever tried to, ladies, you've ever tried to run in a tight skirt? It's a weight. And the ideal is a runner, and there's things that hinder you or keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. So you're supposed to lay it aside. How would you like to run? We got a running group in our church, Brian and Davey and Ashley Fryer. How would you like to carry a 50-pound bag of corn on your 5-mile run? That would be a weight, wouldn't it? Could you do it? You're not going to win a race doing that, are you? So it says you got to lay aside the weights, the things that are unnecessary in our lives. And there's a lot of things in our lives that are not necessary. Listen to this in the Message Bible. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. You know, it's hard to run when you're fat. I know about that. Yeah, run and get the jiggles, you know. I've run. I didn't want to run without a shirt on. Because, you know, you get your belly button jump up and hit you on the forehead and you get suction on your forehead and you fall down. It says no extra spiritual fat, okay? No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. We got to lay aside the stuff that weights us down. The extra spiritual fat. Okay. Good is the enemy of best. Do we want to be good or we want to be the best? Now, I'm competitive by nature. I'm getting too old to be athletically competitive and 80 pounds overweight. But I'm competitive. And if I'm not careful, I bring that over into the spiritual realm, and I'm thinking, okay, I want to beat that church down the road. Now, you know, I don't need that attitude, but honestly, we ought to compete with ourselves in a way, am I doing the best that I can? Am I doing good, or can I do better? And I think we need to ask ourselves that. And I think we get in trouble sometimes when we compare ourselves to other people. Because there's always somebody that's better than you are, and there's always someone that's worse. And if you compare yourself to someone who's better, it could hinder you because you may not have the same natural ability that they have to do certain things. So you get an unrealistic goal there that you can never achieve. Or right on the other side, there's people that you're better than, and you say to yourself, you know what? I'm doing better than they are. I'm doing good because I'm doing better than they are. And it keeps you from being the best that you can be. You get one chance to live this life. You ought to live it to the best of your ability. 95% of achieving anything is recognizing what you don't want and eliminating what you don't need. That's a biggie thing in our lives. The next thing we need to do is to establish your focus. Establish your focus. What is it that you're looking at? What is it that you set your eyes on? What is it that you set your heart on? 20%. I love the Prethro principle. I like it, but I don't like it, okay? 20% of your priorities will give you 80% of your production. Whoa. I must have a low... I do. I've got a low battery. Okay. I'll hurry. 20% of your priorities will give you 80% of your production. If you spend your time, money, and focus on the top 20%, you got to concentrate on the top 20%. it'll give you 80% of your production, okay? So sometimes we need to prune certain things in our lives. It says in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may be more. Sometimes we need to evaluate our lives. What am I spending my time on? You know, you need to get better at what you're good at. See, a lot of people say, what you got to work on is what you're not good at. I'm a decent singer, but I'm not a good singer. I don't need to work on my singing. I need to work on my speaking. I need to be a better speaker. That's one of my stronger suits than singing. Okay? Don't say amen. So if I'll spend 80% of my time working on sermons and speaking and that kind of stuff, I'll be a whole lot more productive than if I can stand there on the side and sing good. Okay? Does that make sense? A lot of times we want to work on what we're the weakest on, and there's nothing wrong with spending 20% of your time on those things, but you got to spend 80% of your time on what you're good to get better. Does that make sense? And sometimes we have to prune the tree a little bit, okay? As you evaluate what needs to be eliminated in your life, allow the peace of God to be your umpire. God has given us His Spirit on the inside of us. He's given us peace. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it's given to us to be a guide. So as you begin to evaluate, okay, Lord, what is it that I'm doing that I need to keep doing? Does it give me peace? If it doesn't give you peace, it may be something you need to eliminate in your life. You've got to keep your priorities in order. What's my number one priority? My relationship with God. If I don't have my relationship with God, then my relationship with you is going to be affected. My relationship as a pastor will be affected. So my relationship and my walk with God is the most important thing. If I don't keep my marriage together, my effectiveness as a pastor will be diminished. Okay? You don't like for your pastor to get divorced, do you? I know my mother-in-law wouldn't. She'd have to take her back. But So you got to work on your priorities, and you know you got to keep them in order. I've got to spend time with my family. I've got to spend time with God. I've got to spend time on the things that are my top priorities. And there may be some other things that I just have to let go that are priorities, but they're not as high as these other things. Then we need to link our priorities to goals. We need to set goals. I have goals for this church. I have goals for where I want to see us at next year. You know, one of the reasons about the two services, we might get by a little longer with one service. Going to two services will not make your church grow. But not going to two services might keep it from growing. So, you know, I'm setting some things in order that honestly, some people don't understand right now. That we're going to two services. There's going to be some changes that we go through. See, but I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about the person that's not yet here. I'm thinking about the person who comes to the door, who sees a crowd here, and they're not comfortable with being here, and they can't find a seat very easy, and they turn around and leave. I'm thinking about that person. So we're going to make room, okay? How many people do we have in here tonight? Did you count them? 75 in here. This is what I want our first service to look like. Except, you know what I'm going to say? What am I going to say? Move to the middle, okay? This is what I want our early service to start out looking like. This is what it's going to look like. Can this many people worship effectively? Absolutely. I'll tell you something. We have some of our best worship on Wednesday nights because more people worship. Isn't that true? So 75 people can worship. People say, well, he'll just divide our church. No, it won't divide our church. We're going to do two identical services. Everybody's going to get the same stuff. I'm thinking about the future. I'm trying to tie my priorities to goals. Within a year or two, we could be a lot larger than we are. And we have to make preparation for that now. We have to set goals for that right now. Do you want to say something? 10:45. 9 and 10:45. Okay. Do first things first, not second things first. I like that. Do what's most important first, not the second. You know, sometimes the second thing cries out louder than the most important thing, and that's how we get off track. Focus on the 20%, not the 80%. Trying to focus on too much is going to paralyze you. It's kind of like the guy chasing two rabbits. Which one's he going to catch? Neither one of them. He's got divided focus. You have to focus on the important things. You know what? And you got to choose, or guess what? You lose. You choose or lose. So, as you begin to categorize your list, you will see what needs to be eliminated. You'll begin to see what has to go in your life. And you know what? It's going to be painful. It's going to be painful. It really is at first. The next few weeks, we're gonna go through some painful stuff. People are not going to understand certain things. The services is going to take on a different feel about them because they're not going to be as full. And there's going to be mindsets that people have to deal with and they're thinking, you know what? I don't know if I like this or not. I'm not sure. Anything that you do new, there has to be adjusting periods in everything that we do. And we're going to have new challenges. We're going to have bugs to work out. We're going to have some bugs. It'll take us a while to get them worked out. Anything that you do that. We've discovered that in Celebrate Recovery. We say we're building the plane while we're flying. And that may be what we do a little bit with this. We may be building the plane, tweaking and... That's not a good term, is it? Tweaking is not a good term. I'm sorry. We're going to make adjustments as we go. Oh, me. How many of you don't know what tweaking is? Okay. Tweaking is not a good term to use. Especially in Celebrate Recovery. You don't... Jason said one time, he says, that guy's a tweaker. I thought, is that something like Twitter or Facebook or something, you know, a tweaker? I'm not sure. I still know what it means. Have you ever tweaked, Aaron? I don't believe I've ever tweaked. I've jerked, but I've never tweaked. I don't know what all that means. But anyway, how do you quit? So what are we going to do? We got to, let's say it again, evaluate and eliminate what must not dominate. We want to be dominated by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. We want to be guided by our principles. We want to be guided by our priorities and our purposes. Amen? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sharing tonight. We pray you bless your people. And Lord God, get our hearts ready for this weekend. May we worship you, and may your Spirit fall on us in a special way. And Lord God, we thank you for the things that you have in store for us because we're looking to the future, and we're doing it as a church, and we're doing it as a team. Bless your people for the rest of this week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.